This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Dor Dickerson, Nicholas Harry Callis, here with you on the Fan Morning Show. And on the Fan Hotline right now is our guy, Mark Cabali. Mark, good morning. How are you?
How are you, Dor? And how was the vacation?
It was good. It went fast. And back in the saddle now. Crowley's back tomorrow, your guy. How long did you do yesterday? You were on the show yesterday. How long did you do the whole show, or like just a couple hours?
I came in at 7, so 3 hours.
Nice, getting a little time.
It was fun.
You ready for football season? It's right around the corner. You ready to go spend some time in the dorm rooms? You stay in the dorm rooms, right, during camp?
No. We got kicked out of the dorm rooms after COVID. So you remember last year? You just slept on my
floor. Oh yeah, that's right.
Airbnb, right?
That's right.
I got the hotel this year, so you know you might have to sleep on the couch this year.
That's fine. As long as you invite us, we're all good to spend some time up there in Latrobe with you. As you know, the reason why I texted you yesterday is the news about Cam Sutton, 8-game suspension. Where does that put the Steelers right now? And is this something that you think that they anticipated happening at some point? And this amount of games did they anticipate happening at some point with Cam Sutton? And where does that leave them right now as a team?
Well, I don't know if they anticipated 8 games. That's obviously a half a season. But they had to anticipate something. I mean, they didn't come out and the league didn't come out and tell them, hey, on July 9th or whatever day it was, we're going to suspend Cam Sutton for 8 games. I mean, but surely they knew it was going to be something anywhere between 2, 4, 6 or whatever it was. So they had to prepare accordingly. I mean, I don't think they were shocked by it. But now it takes a little step backwards because Cam Sutton, he came in end of OTAs and he looked pretty good. I mean, he looked pretty good for a guy that, struggled last year with the lines on the outside. And he was a big upgrade at that position. Now they got to take the step back and look where they were before the Cam Sutton signing. And you're looking at guys like Beanie Bishop, the rookie out of West Virginia. You're looking at Josiah Scott, who had a decent year with the Jets 2 years ago, but still just a journeyman. I mean, you got Anthony Averett, a guy they signed after rookie minicamp, a vet from Baltimore, but he's been hurt. And you also have the opportunity, potentially, to bring a guy like Patrick Peterson back into the mix here because of that. So they're not as well off as they were yesterday at this time. But you look at it like this, Dor, and you get through those 8 games, then you could get a pretty significant boost when you bring back Cam Sutton for that stretch run, those 8 games that are going to be probably decide who's going to make the playoffs or not.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Mark Cabali of The Athletic is joining us right now. I mean, if you're in a situation where you have to bring back Patrick Peterson after, you parted ways with him, or if you're in a situation where Beanie Bishop is your answer, a guy that you didn't even draft, that was an undrafted free agent, I mean, you can't be feeling too good about the back end of your defense. And alongside, they also have a hole at number two receiver. Like, did they do their due diligence this offseason of finding a corner? Or do you think that they are just okay with Dante Jackson? Like, I don't know.
I think there's time. I mean, you got a lot of veterans on the free agency market that if things don't work out here in training camp, you can bring them on. I mean, Patrick Peterson being one of them. So those are guys who are not going to need a lot of practice time, so to speak, in training camp to get ready. So you look at that as a potential. And as another thing for the slot corner, I mean, we don't know where a guy like DeMonte Casey is going to fit into right now, too. Mm-hmm. So he could be a guy that can maybe fill in right there. I mean, if that doesn't work out, they might have to go to like plan B and change some scheme up a little bit of what they really wanted to do. So as for receiver, I mean, there's still time left. I mean, free agency market's garbage right now. I don't want Michael Thomas, right?
Right.
I mean, this is a guy that had the big season and played about seven games over the past three or four years. So, yeah, you're basically throwing something against the wall if you're bringing him in. I guess there's time to see if anybody gets cut. But even if somebody gets cut September 1st or August 29th, when that final cut day is, that guy's probably not going to be better than what you already have. So unless they can somehow pull off the trade at the end of the training camp, I think they might have made a little bit of a mistake here not trying to get a number two. Well, they tried to get a number two, but it just hasn't worked out as well as they anticipated. And that we could be looking back on this door in a couple months and saying, man, that was the difference right there, man. They needed that number two that get George Pickens free, and right now I don't think they have that.
Mark, we're a little over 2 weeks away until the Steelers report. I believe they report, what, July 26th to Latrobe, and I mean the first game is August 1st. The game is the Hall of Fame game, so we're right around the corner. What are some position battles that you're looking forward to watching and to figuring out?
Well, obviously the right tackle spot, right? If you're having Dan Moore and Troy Fatanu battle, that's out. Because, I mean, you really haven't seen anything much from Fatanu yet because they haven't put pads on. I mean, is he going to get a legit opportunity, or is he going to be like Broderick Jones and need a little bit of time before they feel comfortable of putting it in there? That's number one. I think Zach Frazier is a guy that's obviously going to be thrown in there right away. Sink or swim, let's deal with him, and I think he'll be fine. So I don't know about much of a battle. Let's see who emerges as that two and three. Right now it looks like Van Jefferson is going to be the number two. But who knows, with Calvin Austin looking pretty decent. He could be a guy that could be a player as well. And they just got a bunch of receivers that are just all the same right now. So that's definitely a position you have to look at as well. And let's see, you know, another one is, Doran, is let's see where Corey Trice is right now. I mean, you hear about him. We saw him for about a half a practice last year, and he looked good. But let's see how far along he is right now. And if you can get him up to speed and feel comfortable with him, all of a sudden your secondary looks a little bit better. Maybe not at the slot position, but at least depth-wise on the outside.
Is it okay to say that Pat Freiermuth will be the number two receiver this
year? Right now he is. Yeah. Right now he's definitely the guy. I mean, he had an instant connection with Russell Wilson in OTA's training camp. I think he went out to San Diego, threw with him a little bit. Russell likes to throw the ball underneath, short, quick passes. Freiermuth is extremely talented. He just has had some bad luck staying healthy. If he's able to stay healthy, yeah, I could see him really opening up a lot of – I know Russell Wilson doesn't like to throw to the middle of the field. That's what the analytics say. But if Pat Freiermuth's open in the middle of the field, I'm sure Russell Wilson's talented enough to throw him the ball there. So right now, that might be their saving grace right now. If Freiermuth turns into that guy that he looked like he was going to be and has the ability to be, then all of a sudden that takes a lot of pressure off of guys like Roman Wilson and guys like Calvin Austin, Van Jefferson, Quez Watkins, and you can go down the line about 15 other ones. But yeah, Freiermuth's a big key too.
Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Did you see the comments that Joe Burrow had about TJ Watt?
I briefly saw him. I was more interested in him and his crazy idea of the 18-game schedule.
Yeah, how do you feel about that, actually? Let's revert to that. The 18-game schedule, and he said, what, two bye weeks? He said during one of the bye weeks you have the Pro Bowl games. How do you feel about his little theory there?
That's goofy, man. Yeah. Imagine anybody wanting to play in the Pro Bowl, even if it is just, you know, something like a skills competition on week 12 or week 13. You'll have nobody showing up. You'll have guys like Kyle Allen, Steelers' third string quarterback, being your Pro Bowler at that point. That's kind of crazy right there. But I understand where he's getting at, where, you know, you need, if you're going to go 18 games, you better do something to give the guys time off. But the Pro Bowl thing is just ridiculous.
It really is. I was like, I mean, okay. Like, what? I guess you would
stick to quarterbacking.
Right. I do think that he's going to be primed for a big year this year, though. I think he has a chip on his shoulder. I think he definitely wants to prove it. He said that in his comments on Part of My Take, too. He said in his comments that, you know, he feels like people are forgetting about him. People are overlooking him. I think that, obviously, it doesn't bode well for the Steelers if he does have a chip on his shoulder, but I think he's going to have a pretty good year this year.
Yeah, I mean, you still have some issues at the third wide receiver spot. The running back, I think it was Zach Moss.
Yeah.
The offensive line has gotten better, but it's still a work in progress. So if you could keep him upright, yeah. I mean, he has as much talent in the world. He got two of the best receivers at his disposal as well. So, I mean, yeah, you can't count him out. He just has to stay healthy.
Thank you, Mark. You're the man.
All right, Dorn. You have fun there with Harry Callis. By the way, did you know that Harry Callis got struck out by Mason Miller in college?
I did. He brings that up all the time. That's his buddy. I think that's his buddy. Is that your buddy?
That's about the seventh time I brought it up in the past 24 hours.
He also lost in the hot dog eating contest, as you probably know.
I heard he choked.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Thanks, Mark.
All right. Well, there he goes. Mark Cabali of The Athletic. Wow, he had to get that shot in at you, Callis, like right at the end. Like, what was that about? Does he bring that up to you all the time about Mason Miller?
No, he doesn't. I just told him because they were talking about him being an all-star and good local stories, and Jeff was like, oh, and our guy Harry Callis played with him. So I was like, yeah, Mark, I played with him.
Did you know that he would be, you know, there's some guys you can say like, oh, man, that guy's really talented. I could see them. Like, there's a lot of guys where I was like, oh, he's going to be an NFL player whenever we were younger, or whenever I was younger. Was he one of those guys where you're like, he's going to be a major league pitcher? No doubt.
Not definitively like that. But I did say that I was asking myself, why isn't he somewhere else?
Where'd he go, Bethel?
He went to Bethel Park. I'm at Waynesburg, though.
No, I know. Yeah, he went to Bethel High School.
He was a Bethel Park guy, yeah. And, yeah, Waynesburg, Gardner-Webb, draft.
Nice.
I asked myself that question, though. I'm like, why is he not testing himself somewhere else?
Interesting.
He wasn't throwing 101 in college, though.
What was he throwing?
He was throwing about 93 when I was there. 93, 94.
Is that the norm for that level of
baseball? No, it's above average for that level.
What's the norm?
Mid-80s.
Yeah.
Maybe some 90 guys.
Okay.
I threw my fastest pitch at 83.
Yours was 83?
Mound, yeah.
How many pitches did you have in your arsenal?
Five.
What was your favorite?
My knuckle curve.
Oh.
Spun real weird. Yeah.
What? Like the knuckle puck from Mighty Ducks. You remember that movie?
Never seen it.
Oh, my God. You've never seen Mighty Ducks?
No. I should show you some videos sometimes, though. I've got a whole collection of my favorite pitches.
I would like to see that.
Yeah.
I would definitely like to see that.
Bring my laptop sometime.
All right, we'll continue the Cam Sutton conversation coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection. Dickerson Cowles here with you. Fan Morning Show. Crowley will be back tomorrow after his two-week paternity leave. We'll have Doug Whaley tomorrow. We'll have Ray Fittipaldo tomorrow. Steelers season's right around the corner. Little over 2 weeks until the Steelers report, July 26th. August 1st is the Hall of Fame game. I don't even know who's playing. I think the Texans are playing in it. But I am actually going, Callis, to the Hall of Fame game because one of my former teammates is going into the Hall of Fame. So I am going to go see his induction.
Can I guess?
Yes.
Is it Brady?
No.
Oh.
No.
Oh, he didn't get elected to the Hall of Fame yet, did he?
Not yet. He's not eligible, I don't believe.
Boy, that was just a brain lapse by me.
I kind of gave you a clue, what I just said, if you were paying attention, of who it could be. So you want to take another guess?
No.
You don't want to?
No.
Andre Johnson.
Oh.
Yes. Andre. He's getting into the Hall of Fame. So a bunch of us, a bunch of his former teammates and a bunch of my former teammates are going to make the trip up to Canton to see him get inducted. And it's going to be pretty exciting because he was a great player. And I had a great opportunity to be his locker mate right next to him and learn a lot of good things from him. So. I'm excited about that. Cam Sutton. Oh, my goodness. I can't, like, I don't, it's not as bad, I think, like, as people are making it. I mean, the situation is horrible. I'm not talking about the situation, but the 8-game suspension, yes, it's very bad, but at least it's before the divisional games is, if you want to look at the bright side of things, it's before that they play any divisional games. I'm not saying that he's, like, an end up, like, he's not a Darrell Revis. Like, he's not a Richard Sherman. And, you know, he's not a player that's like, oh my gosh, if we don't have this guy, we're not going to win games. But he is a decent piece to the puzzle of what the Steelers want to do this year. You know, they got lucky, I guess, if you want to say that, with him getting released by the Lions and them signing him to a vet minimum deal to take a chance at a position of need. But if you want to look at anything on the bright side, at least he will be back and hopefully rolled right into the fold by time they start their division play. But, you know, where does that leave them now? It leaves them with two gigantic holes. We've been talking all offseason. We've been talking months and day in and day out about Brandon Ayuk, about DK Metcalf. Who's going to be the guy that the Steelers trade for the number one or number two wide receiver spot? Now, that's still a thing. But now you are left with a gigantic hole at corner or even slot corner. And I thought Mark Cabali brought up a really good point about DeMonte KZ and how he might roll into the fold here, knowing that Deshaun Elliott is now the strong safety, obviously Minka Fitzpatrick, the free safety, and DeMonte KZ still can't create depth on the back end, but will he be a nickel safety now instead of Cam Sutton being a nickel corner? Dante Jackson, is he going to be the guy on the outside opposite of Joey Porter Jr.? Is Corey Trace going to be up to speed after his injury last year? I do believe that they are very high on Corey Trace. I know he was drafted late because of injuries, ended up getting hurt last year in training camp, and now went through OTAs and should be fully healthy for training camp. He's a bigger body corner, as the Steelers like and as most NFL teams like nowadays. So maybe he can be rolled into the fold. But I just can't see a situation where they can rely on an undrafted free agent slot corner in Beanie Bishop, even though I think he is a pretty good player and will make this team. But can you go into training camp? Can you go into the season in the first eight games of the season relying on a young player like that to kind of shore up the things that you want to do on defense? It really does leave them in a gigantic hole. But they should have anticipated this. They should have anticipated something. I do believe they did. I just don't know about the length. Maybe they were thinking four games would be the length of a suspension for Cam Sutton. But you know, eight games is very, very significant. Very significant. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there saying, why'd you even do it? I mean, I probably would have did it. I probably would have did my research as the Steelers did and see, like, all right, like, if you are, I guess, expunged, if you will, of the issue, we're going to pay you minimum money to be around and hopefully be a part of our team, and we'll see what happens. So I don't know if they're necessarily counting on Cam Sutton to start the season to be that guy, but why not take a flyer on a guy that you know is not going to be in legal trouble, but possibly could be in NFL suspension trouble. So I have no problem with that. It just puts them in a huge hole. Like, they need to absolutely, like, right now, search the market. And there's only really one guy that you can really point to that it would make sense for the Steelers. Now, in our minds, it makes sense to go out and get maybe a Stephon Gilmore. But they aren't going to do that. They're going to go with the familiar face. They're going to go with somebody that they know very well. And that is going to be Patrick Peterson. Patrick Peterson will be the guy that they sign. And you all know that, to come in here and to try to hold it down for the first half of the season. That's just where they're at. They've backed themselves in corners, in a corner a lot this offseason. And for the great job I think that Omar Khan has done and Andy White will have done, there are some questions. Usually whenever you make a move, you have a plan B. Usually when you make a move, you have a counter. Like, the whole Deontay Johnson situation, like, are they really that high on Dante Jackson? Like, is that who they thought that they could get to be a starter and to fill a hole on their defense while they give up a piece of their offense? They obviously gave up a piece of their offense and haven't filled that piece at wide receiver yet. Well, I know it's a lot easier said than done, but as the time goes on, the harder it gets. And you would have thought, with a whole new regime, with Arthur Smith coming in, new receiver coach, depending on how bad the situation is, like, I personally would have given Deontay Johnson one more chance to see if he could turn it around with a new quarterback, a new offensive coordinator, and a new wide receiver coach. Now you're left with two holes. Been easier to fill the corner hole, I believe, if you weren't so focused on having to fill the receiver hole. But maybe they thought in their mind that they have filled the corner hole with Dante Jackson. I don't know. But the whole L'Jarius Sneed sign and trade deal that he did with, I believe, the Tennessee Titans, like, that could have been on the table. They didn't want to send Deontay Johnson to the Kansas City Chiefs. They wanted to send him somewhere where he could, a worse situation, because that situation between Deontay and the Steelers probably was not that great. As we know it, from the outside, it wasn't that great. So maybe on the inside, it was even worse. But now this is where they are. And they're going to have to make some moves, because I just can't see them relying on what they have. What they have at corner, what they have at receiver. You're not going to be able to compete with the guys you have. And that's not I'm not trying to disparage players in the NFL. I'm not trying to disparage Van Jefferson. I'm not disparaging Roman Wilson, who is a young player, or Quez Watkins. But it's just not conducive to a winning formula. You need a legit number one wide receiver. You don't even have a legit number one. You think you have a number one. You hope that you have a number one, but you don't. You almost honestly hope that you have a number one in Joey Porter Jr. He did great last year. And he's been talked about a lot this year, but he's still a young player. I mean, is he a number one corner? So, like, you have a lot of questions that you need answered. And the time's ticking. And you know what you're going to have to face in this division. You know what you're going to have to face in the AFC. And that is pretty much all the best quarterbacks. If you want to get to where you expect to get to. We're going to continue talking about the Steelers. They report a little bit over 2 weeks from now to training camp. Some training camp battles. Where I think they did get better. Where I think that they are not as great outside of receiver. We'll talk about that next. Listen to the Starkey Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at 12 p.m. at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Callis, you're catching some flack right now. Was it on the text line or some tweets about
YouTube chat?
YouTube chat about you not seeing Mighty Ducks, which is absolutely insane. I feel like every child should watch that movie. Every child that is at least interested in playing sports.
Are you saying I'm a child?
Well, it came out whenever I was a child, and I feel like whenever you're a child, like I believe that every American hockey player, at least in the last 30 years, has seen the movie Mighty Ducks.
I could have just said, yes, I'm a child, so I should watch it. That would have been easy.
No, I mean, it's a child's movie. I'm saying that whenever you were a child, you should have watched it.
I can't go back in time now, can I?
You can still watch it now.
Oh.
You can watch it now, but I'm saying as growing up as a child, you should have watched the movie. If you were into sports. It's like, have you ever seen Sandlot?
So what you're I haven't seen it all the way through, but I understand the problem.
That's even worse. That's 1,000 times worse that you haven't seen the movie Sandlot.
No, wait, hold on. I have seen it all the way through.
No, you haven't. No, you haven't. What happens at the end?
All the players split apart. Benny Rodriguez becomes a major leaguer, and I forget the guy's name who tells the story, but he becomes the announcer of his team.
Okay, there you go. You saved yourself. Good job. Good job. You have seen. Have you seen Rookie of the Year?
Is that the one with the kid who his arm gets hurt?
Yes.
Or that's The Natural?
No, that's Rookie of the Year.
Oh, good. Okay, yes. Yeah, so I have seen that one.
Okay, so have you seen Little Giants?
No.
You need to watch Mighty Ducks.
Mighty Ducks?
Yes. It's a fantastic. I watched D2, that's the second one, Mighty Ducks, last week whenever I was off with my kids, because they're old enough to appreciate the movie. And I was like, I haven't seen it in a while, maybe like 4 or 5 years, because it's one of those movies I'll throw on every once in a while because it just reminds me of my childhood. And how much it made me love hockey. And I wanted to see, does this movie hold up? And will my kids like it? And it absolutely holds up to right now. But you have to watch that movie. And I can't believe that you haven't seen it. Or even the first one, or the third one. There's three of them.
So just to clarify, you're telling me adults can watch The Mighty Ducks?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. So I think that they should. I think that they should make another Mighty Ducks movie, but it's like everybody's older and they're playing in a beer hockey league and they're all like fat and kind of out of shape with like kids and stuff. But they get together and play in a beer hockey league, and they put on their old uniforms or whatever. And obviously, you know, they make new uniforms for them to fit now, but they're still the Mighty Ducks. But then they find out that they're actually pretty good, and then they like enter like a big contest of like pickup hockey, and then they win it. And bring back all the original characters.
Well, I guess I would need to watch the first one to understand if your idea is a good one.
I can't believe this. I really can't. I even forgot what I was going to talk about. Oh, I was going to talk about Steelers battles, but like this is even better. Like childhood movies. You've barely seen The Sandlot. You've seen Rookie of the Year. You probably can't remember Rookie of the Year. We watched that as well. I watched that with my kids because it's baseball season and they're into it.
The underhand pitched at the end.
Yes. There you go. Okay.
Yeah, come on, man.
All right. All right. I'm trying to think of another childhood like sports movie. I know I'm missing one that is out there, but.
You know what I just saw recently that's not a kid's movie?
What's that?
The one with Cleveland and what is it called again? The. I can't remember it.
Major League.
Yes. Major League. I just saw that one recently. It was very funny.
Ever seen Angels in the Outfield? It's another good one.
Top Gun's kind of a baseball movie.
What?
No, not really. Wait, there's baseball in it.
Wait, what?
Not Top Gun. Is that one Top Gun? Is that what I'm thinking of?
No, that's when they fly the planes with Tom Cruise.
No, that's not it. Naked Gun, that's it.
Naked Gun? Oh, my God.
Sorry. Yeah, two different movies. Sorry.
Jeez. Angels in the Outfield? You've never seen that one, right?
No.
Oh, man. It's this kid, he sees angels, and it's the, you know.
Field of Dreams is another one I haven't really seen either.
Uh-huh. Bull Durham?
I've never seen that.
Huh. To be a baseball guy, you've really missed out on some baseball movies, and there's some pretty good ones out there.
Well, I'm sorry, but that's just a palette for me to expand my taste for.
Will you watch Mighty Ducks this weekend?
We'll start with the Mighty Ducks. Okay.
You will?
Well, we got the softball game this weekend, so I don't know.
I mean, it's an hour and a half movie.
What? That's 90 minutes of my time. Gosh. Time's very precious.
Oh, Callis, I tell you what. I don't know. Never mind. Coming up next, somebody had a birthday yesterday, and it got me thinking, who are the best that I've seen or played with or played against at that position? Because he certainly is one of the best, and he had a birthday yesterday, and everybody knows who this guy is. Fair Morning Show Twitter poll is brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Dickerson, Callis here with you on a Fan Morning Show. Callis has never seen Mighty Ducks. He's barely seen Sandlot, barely seen Rookie of the Year, and I think that that is an abomination. It's unbelievable. And I know you've gotten a little bit of hate on the YouTube chat, and it's very well-deserving, Callis. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Playing football at such a young age, and looking around, and we were talking a little bit about this before with Callis being teammates with Mason Miller, who's an all-star this year, all-star pitcher. You could kind of realize whenever guys, have it. And I remember thinking when I was younger, seeing how some kids would tackle and just having a nose for the football and having the instincts. And then you get to high school and it's like, okay, that makes sense of why they play this position, why they play that position. Then you get to college and you see why some guys were recruited at that position and, why they were so good. Having a nose for the football is something that is, I think, born. And the instinctive nature of seeking the football out and being able to tackle somebody to the ground is something that is born as well. And you get better and better as the years go on. But, that's how football started is, tackle, block, right? And, that's tackle, block. And I've had the privilege to play with, I've had the privilege to play against, and to know some of the best middle linebackers to play the sport. And it is a very... It's not unique, but it's a very interesting position because it is a position that I do believe that you have to be born to play because it is such an instinctive, like you just have to know. You have to know when to go downhill. You have to know how to get somebody to the ground. You have to know how to run sideline to sideline. And this conversation sparks from Jack Lambert, who turned 72 yesterday. One of the best middle linebackers to ever play the game. Obviously, one of the best Steelers of all time, and was just brought that just nasty intensity to the game. You don't see many linebackers, obviously, like him anymore. But, to play the game of football, you have to, and to win and to have a really good defense, you have to have a really good middle linebacker. And I think the Steelers got one this year in Patrick Queen. They've had a bunch of them over the years. As we just said, Jack Lambert being really the first middle linebacker. I don't know if Jack Ham played middle. I know he played outside a little bit, but he probably played middle at some point. But Jack Lambert being one of the first, you got LeVon Kirkland, you got Ferrier. I mean, there's so many good middle linebackers that have played for the Steelers. But to play that position, it is a mentality. And Jack Lambert is the poster of that mentality. I mean, just, I think it was Sports Illustrated, that picture of him on Sports Illustrated in his helmet with no teeth. I mean, being nasty, going downhill. And I've had the opportunity to be around a lot of middle linebackers. I played linebacker for a year at Pitt. I played Sam linebacker, outside backer, and had, the opportunity to play next to Scott McKillop and, a two-time All-American, a guy that was born with that skill to seek out a ball carrier, to get them to the ground, to have the instincts. You don't have to be the biggest. You don't have to be the fastest. You have to be probably the best football player on the field, though. I will give that. The best football player, I believe, has to be and is the middle linebacker. I mean, because it goes back to how you play the game of football. Scott McKillop, he would make plays before I would even get out of my stance. HB Blades would make plays before, you know, the ball was basically hiked. To have somebody be able to set up the defense, it's not that hard. I mean, obviously relaying in plays, I mean, you're the quarterback of the defense, but just the instincts to have to play that position. There have been so many great middle linebackers throughout the years. I mean, you know, I played against Ray Lewis. He's one of the best. There's so many over the years. I'm drawing a blank right now because I do that every once in a while, but the middle linebacker that was the coach from the Chicago Bears, why am I drawing a blank right now? But he was a really good middle linebacker back in the 80s, you know, just playing the game at that level. And the Steelers have missed that the last couple of years. And I think everybody knows that ever since Ryan Shazier went down with his injury, they've had a tough time replacing that position. And that position, you know, it's not as sexy anymore because it's, you know, offensive driven. It's an offensive driven league. You need corners to cover. You need safeties to help out the corners on the back end. You pay a lot of money to defensive ends and rush ends to get after the quarterback. You pay them a lot of money to tackles and receivers. But the middle linebacker spot is still just as a value and probably has a highest value, I believe, on an NFL defense still to this day. Not as sexy and not as, you know, they don't make as much money as some of the other players. But if you have a really good guy in the middle, you can shape your defense around him. You can shape your defense around that guy. And the Steelers, you know, have had a bunch of them, like I said, over the years. And Jack Lambert, 72 years old, played that position how it's supposed to be played. And damn, I wish I could have been there a few games, maybe even sitting in the stands or watching on my television of watching him play live. Because I know that it was something. Had to have been something to just watch him and just, you know, just how nasty he was and just have that edge to him every single time that he stepped foot on the field. You can't tell me that rose the level of play that didn't raise the level of play for his teammates. Knowing that that guy was on your side. Knowing that a guy like that is on your side is a very good feeling as a teammate. Very good feeling. And they are, you know, the pillars of a lot of defense. I mean, people are probably going to disagree. But I still believe to this day, even though that they're not as highly praised, that if you do have a really good middle linebacker, your defense can be pretty good. And I think the Steelers have finally got it right. Finally. Hopefully, I do hope, but they've made the right moves to make it right over what 8-6 years, something like that, since they've had Ryan Shazier. Obviously Devin Bush, I mean, just filling the gap of a bunch of linebackers that didn't pan out since then. Now you have Patrick Queen, you paid him some money, you know what he did last year, you know what he's done in Baltimore. So, you know, having him, Landon Roberts, Peyton Wilson, I think that they finally have that position sewn up. I mean, I thought last year that they did a good job of putting that linebacker core together. They just couldn't stay healthy with Cole Holcomb. And Cole Holcomb will be back at some point this year. Don't know when. But also, Quan Alexander signing him before training camp last year, I thought they did a great job of trying to fill that. But those guys just didn't stay healthy. This year, I do believe that they will get back on that train of having some really good linebacking play. Coming up next, Paul Skeens. He's an all-star. We'll talk about that and what to expect and how there are some people out there thinking that he's not deserving of that honor. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's the Chevy Summer Drive at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 94, low of 69 with overcast. Tomorrow, high of 91 and low of 72, partly cloudy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.